I wander about. Beware of me, white slavers. I do not rattle before I strike. This is another appeal of women. Behold me, touch me. Behold me crying to you, brothers. Hear my people crying on a trail of tears. Return the buried children to me. Return the mutilated hands, the cut-off ears. Return the tiny embryo, the prairie, dark, drowsed women, the silent cricket, the poisoned bird. Behold me. I am the daily bread. I am the daily breast. The eastern dawn-striped egg cracks and breaks. Behold us crying to you, brothers. I come toward you shouting to call you to the land of meeting, of liberty flourishing for all birds, for all children. Contain me, invite me, behold me. I come toward you shouting, do not let them kill me before you speak to me. Touch me, behold me. Another thing that women are not supposed to write about is birth. That's really taboo. And I wrote one of my first good stories, I think, when I was 27, my first child was born. And I had been in Scribner's magazine and some of those magazines, so I sent it to Scribner's. And I never had a woman editor till the Feminist Press. Now, you may not think that means anything, but it's really, it does mean a lot. So this young man editor wrote and said, well, you write so beautifully, which I considered an insult, you know. It's like saying you're such a pretty girl. you're too pretty a woman to write. and then he said, you write about such terrible things. Birth. He said, you know, we can't publish anything about birth. I don't know. Readers of Scribner's don't get born or what. But this is just an example of what you can write about, what they've imposed upon you as a woman. He said, why don't you write more like Hemingway was the darling of the establishment then? So I wrote back and I said, well, I can't write like Hemingway at all because I don't have the same experiences as Hemingway. Fishing, fighting, and fucking are not my major interests. this was true. You couldn't write about it. You look at the male writers, what they write about. You just look at them with that in mind, and you'll be surprised at their subject matter. They none of them have a living woman in them. Faulkner doesn't have any living women. Hemingway doesn't have any living women. You know, natural women. Faulkner wrote a story called The Bear, a very great, beautiful story about how an old man gets his self-respect back by shooting an old bear. Would that ever occur to you to be a subject matter for a story you might write? Not knowing any old bears or even not shooting it. But when you look at it in that way, you really are surprised to see the subject matter of what I call the retarded male writers. Oh, this is about birth. None of it was true about our enemies. We have none. Women never birth enemy faces. An enemy face is never born. No walls, barriers, closed wombs, the barren and the breastless summer sings to the face of lovers. Birth is with others and given. I have come to walk among the drought when love is gone. I have deep fathers sunk within my breast. Their bones are restless in the land, their flesh turned by alien plows, turning up dust of deep remembrance. I look down in the flooded rivers and see grief, flooding the dust, pressed down by the hooves of conquerors, floating, waiting for thunder, the drowned faces of ripe sons and daughters. You have had your flesh of us. Turn to your plow, summer bright and upbloom dust. O conqueror, give up the stolen deed. Clear and fall ripe in your own harvest. Be wild sumac, tasseled corn and love. And I will warm your feet between my breasts. I am field of long ago plowed and forgotten. And I come to walk with you, planting abundant corn. This is another appeal to being seen. I have prepared a smoke for you, husbands, fathers, brothers, hunters. Restore thou for me my bruised body. Restore my bleeding feet to fruit. Heal me of insult. Bear me from hell. In the middle of the wide blue earth I am crying, fragmented in ruins. My blind brother taught me to sing and prepare a smoke for you. My blind sister taught me a song to sing. Blind over my harp, my plucked strings, the knife cuts. I scream silence. The blood of women makes the mulberry red. The fruits of my valley juiced by the blood of massacres. I have received it like earth. Within my flesh, rainbowed round in lighted ruins, I walked into your gun sight and received your split bullet in my upturned flesh. My bowl filled with your filth, I have borne you in drouth and glut. I am prone lying on the ground. I am prone, my dusty feet and hair caked in the spittle dust in the violated cave. I lie prone, father, husband, open my kernel green, unfurl me, reach green to my hungry heart, potent grain and crop await your breast, reach green to my hungry breast, into my dust of fire and thorn, and face me to your knife of love. There's also a great controversy in the feminist movement about children. I would be surprised, maybe, but I was picketed in Albuquerque at a poetry reading because I'm for children by a section of the women's movement. Well, I'm in great sympathy with their whole theory that biological fate to have children was a woman's only fate. I mean, they have to have choice. But it's a very interesting struggle going on about women and having children and their career and their development. It's a wonderful, wonderful kind of struggle. And at this meeting, in this international meeting, this struggle is still going on. It's going to go on very sharply. So I'd like to read some of my poems about children. None of you remember, you were all, most of you born so late, and they don't tell you much history in these colleges, I see. But in 1948 and 49, in Minnesota, we had the highest fallout of strontium 90. Strontium 90 is radiated uranium made of calcium that is radiated. And it gets into the ground. Our soil is lacking calcium. So the soil was full of this, and we wouldn't have known anything about it, like a lot of those things, if there hadn't been a brave chemist at the university. And he put a full-page ad at his own expense in the paper, saying, if you have children in the bone-making age, take them out of Minnesota. He said, I have four sons, I'm giving up my job, and I'm going to leave, because this calcium 90, they will take it in the air and the milk. In the paper one day it said, don't let your children out in the snow today. It's radioactive in the paper. Another day they took all the cows out of the fields because the milk became radioactive. My grandchildren were all of that age, from, you know, 1 to 12 years old, of bone making. You tried to give them soy milk or it came from another place or anything. Now, they took all the teeth of those children. One of my grandsons has no enamel on his teeth. One of my great-grandchildren has a mutation. It was born with an injury to her hands, which came from that. There's so many of those in San Francisco that came from the Hawaiian trials, that they have a clinic at Stanford just to try and study and help. You can, my great-grandchild, her fingers are webbed together. So she goes every year and they cut through. She now can pick up anything. But there's so many children at that clinic. Every child that was born during that period in Hawaii has something the matter with it. So I wrote these in 48 or 49. Of course, it's even more true now, and we know more about it, what it does to the genes, what it does for generations. It seems to me every woman in the world should be up in arms about what is happening then. This is called Sepulchre in Bud. Cocoons of children's faces bloom in spring. Struck child out of explosions of calcium, out of bondage, out of silence, chaos, torrents of flesh. From sepulchre to bud, the child comes. From the human, dried, burnt, enduring, buried, the child springs. Cocoons of children's faces opening out of time, rock, bone, and singing, without armor or gun, naked bud. Born flowers rock out of poison strontium, out of the land of massacre, genocide, we brought them, escaping marked doors of murder, ancestors walking out of the wilderness in them, unrolled the flesh, flowered the bone, sprang from rock, liar from bone, enemies as flowers, out of the bitter, bitter herb, the splintered bone, you came, child. The nucleus arrived at gentle in you, cradle amid satellites. Orbit the tiny breast, the true ellipse of milk, out of feudal darkness, leaping into daffodils. Into landscape out of ruin, into pastures we never knew. Hills of bluebells always ringing in the great wishes, always arriving. From mother clay, the expansions of millions, brain and belly alight in spring solstice, the common day turned marvelous, and the hemisphere lighted by millions of children. Summer squash and bean rejoice, pitch and cry of earth turns, approach of swarms singing over horizons and peripheries, spreading the body, girdling the earth, sheltered, bursting seed, make it safe for us forever. The child appearing with us forever. Shelter them in milk and meadow. Shelter. You see, I don't agree with Rockefeller and not having children. Turns out that was all a ploy. He doesn't need them. It turns out that he paid for all of that thing about, what was that book, Against Population Explosion? That was what it was called, wasn't it? Well, it turned out that Rockefeller paid for all that propaganda. There's plenty of food for children. There's plenty of places for children. That's not the problem. In fact, it takes away from the real problem, which is who's hoarding it. Why is it accumulating in a few hands? Now we see the African, it was created, the African drought and the African hunger. We'll have it here in 20 years if we're going to destroy the small farm and so on. Before you came, I never slept with hope or hoped for flesh. Sprang seed to wind, spiral petal to light, or leapt from root to calyx, or sprang through time and space alive. Child, you always bring the summer of earth and flesh. The summer comes, for they say, and I say, that all bloom and flesh, all passes through spike and ovary, whistle and breath, and constant love multiplied, naked and forever, perpetual child. Well, my other passion that is not in accepted culture is against the fragmentation of relationship and the fragmentation of life and a loss of the 19th century humanism and unity of people and unity of life and the struggle of life. So I write poems about communality against the ego, against the fracture. I think is a good word, the fracture of social bodies. We even think it's no good to do anything socially or communally. There was no hope of stopping the bomb. There's no hope of any kind of united. And this is, as I indicated in the beginning, a subtle buildup of breaking down the relationship between alienation, existentialism, all in my time, Sartre, all those deathly people telling us there was no hope, no reason to do anything. This has entered our culture. It's really frightening in a way. It's undermined our faith in ourselves, in our own strength, in our own beauty. So I'm going to read my poem on the communal global day. I don't think we realize that global is a word that was never in my time. I mean, global is a word that has now become a common word. You didn't think of global. I mean, now it's communication partly. You know what happens in the morning, you see it on TV at night. I think that global feeling actually had a lot to do with stopping the Vietnam War. I mean, whatever the announcer said, you saw the picture of what was happening. And we don't realize how this has injured us as a people. The lack of knowledge of the democratic struggles of our people, for example. It's not taught in school. It's not even known. Now it's a wonderful thing the farm movement is bringing back the old techniques of the 30s, like the penny sale. My theory that I always tell intellectuals who always think everything is ending, that it simply goes into the furrow, that nothing dies. I mean, it's like a seed in the furrow. It comes up in another time, in another season, in a warm season, in good weather. You find corn that has been thousands of years old in old caves, and it'll still sprout with water and heat. And I think people, the passion in people is greater strength, the living connection of people, the communality of people, the history of people's struggles through centuries for liberty, for creating a different kind of society. And we're on the verge of doing that now. So this is my poem to the global day. I really think it's very important that nobody entertains pessimism and cynicism. I think you're just as much as if you're setting off the bomb to feed the image that we have no power, that there's no hope, that nothing can be done. This power is so great. It's not true. If you're going to have a multinational money power, you're going to have a multinational people's power. Because the people are going to have to struggle to even eat, to live at all. So dialectically, you should not entertain despair or cynicism. I think it's a crime. You feed that terrible monster. Let us seek each other in the villages of the earth, in the root dark where we live in the dust. Find us singing in the underground vein, the germinal seed, in the returning sun, and bring our goodness to enormous, fertile, and perpetual harvest, toward zenith of noon, toward total expansions in crops of brotherhood and sisterhood. Let us await each other in the village field, in the new year, risen in ancestral dust from the furrow, from the loom of the people, where amid lamentations we have loomed our life in pollen, where the leaves forgive the root and our children rise in perpetual sunrise, in immense globular light, we await each other. The light returns on no enemy faces, but upon the communal chorus, roused in villages of the earth to cry salute and sing and shout in choruses of millions, rising towards communications, towards extremities of nadirs of total expansions, in the entire solar light, in all flesh, on all fields and all villages, rouse us from sleep. Let us seek each other and move from the violent, the broken, the predatory, to the enormous and myriad, fertile and impregnated harvest, the global village, we sing with you in choruses of millions. Amidst lamentations, wounds, separations, and lesions, continuously and massively bruised under the hooves of conquerors, we have loomed our lives with the same passion as high corn. For the velocity of pollen spreading to all days, we come as allies to our villages in the diurnal green. We seek each other among the ancient stone. In the dusty faces, in the raised fist, in the resurrected heart. I have an accompaniment. Came in just at the right moment. What kind of metal is that? I've decided, somebody told me it was vertical. That's what gives it that sound. We need a round female sound. As I said, I think, in the beginning, I think the great culture now is coming from the colonial countries, from the struggle of the people against this great power. It's literally true now what I used to learn in my youth. In the Communist Manifesto says that workers, we will not revolt until they have nothing to lose but their chains. And this now has become literally a world fact. And the great courageous people who have nothing to lose are the only people that we can see that will save the world, that will save us, that will stop the bomb. I think that if you don't believe in them, you have nothing to believe in. You have only the dead class, the dead violence, and certain extinction. We have to see this great movement that is taking place amongst those who have nothing to lose but their chains, because it's heroic, it's immense, it contains the whole spirit of the 18th and 19th humanist movement. And it's the new global world is going to be created. During the Vietnamese War, some American women sent things that were needed by the Vietnamese Women's Union, that, you know, like penicillin and things. And I had nothing to send but this poem that I wrote for them. It was translated into Vietnamese and passed out in the front line with an English leaflet. And now I hear from some of them. One of the women that I had, she is a woman's, has children in Saigon. I mean, they are, it's really a beautiful relationship. So I wrote this, and it's just as rich and alive now to the global world. How can we touch each other, my sisters? How can we hear each other over the criminal space? How can we touch each other over the agony of bloody roses? I always feel you near your sorrow, like a wind in the great legend of your resistance, your strong and delicate strength. It was the bumblebee and the butterfly who survived, not the dinosaur. None of my sons or grandsons took up guns against you. And all the time the predators were poisoning the humus, polluting the water, the hooves of empire passing over us all. White hunters were aiming down the gun sights, villages wrecked mine and yours, defoliated trees, gnawed earth, blasted embryos. We also live in a captive country in the belly of the shark, the horrible faces of our predators gloating, leering, the bloody Ford and Rockefeller and Kissinger presiding over the violation of Asia and now of South America, mortgaging, blasting, claiming earth and women in the corral of flayed flesh and hunger, the air crying of carbon and thievery. Our mutual flesh lights the sulfur emanation of centuries of exploitation. Amidst the ruins, we shine forth in holy, mutual cry, revealing the plainest cruelties, the deprivations of power, and we are the strength of numbers and endurance, and the holy light from the immortal wound. The only knowledge now is the knowledge of the dispossessed. Our earth itself screams like a bandaged, roaring giant about to rise in all its wounds and bear upon the conqueror. Lock your doors in the cities. There are no quiet dead and no quiet deed. Everything you touch now is ticking to its explosion. The scab is about to infect. The ruined land is dynamite. Cadmus' teeth of dead gorillas gnaw the air. Nature returns all wounds as warriors. The earth plans resistance and cries, live. What strikes you, my sisters, strikes us all. The global earth is resonant, communicative. Conception is instant solidarity of the child. Simultaneity of the root drives the green sap of the flower. In the broken, the dispossessed is the holy cry. We keep our tenderness alive and the nourishment of the earth green. The heart is central as lava. We burn in each other. We burn and burn and we shout in choruses of millions and we appear armed as mothers, grandmothers, sisters. We burn. Sisters, the predators plan to live within our bodies. They plan to wring out of us unpaid labor, wrench their wealth from our bodies. Like the earth, they intend to bore inside the woman host, open the artery like weasels, use, consume, devour, drill for oil, eat the flesh of the earth mother. Like the earth, they will consume all woman flesh and the commodities of her being, and the harbors of the world will be for the sale of her body. The sweatshops will multiply stolen wealth of her living skin. They slaver at the cheap labor of women around the world. They will ground us on the matati like living corn. We will be gutted and used by the companies to make wealth. The world eaters sharpen their teeth. Out of the unpaid labor of women, they will triple their wealth, and women far down under are trashed, pressed into darkness, humiliated, exploited. Half the Indian women of South Dakota have been sterilized. The salt savor of our sweat tides like an ocean. Brothels called meat markets in all the ports of the conquerors. We are the wine cask struck to the ground, spilled. We are a great granary of seed, smashed, burned. We are a garroted flight of doves. We are face out of bone. Years of labor bend the back. Down the route of conquest, our bodies receive the insult, receive 1,000 blows, thefts of ovum and child, meadows of dead and ruined women. After the first death, there's no other. The body trashed dies. There is no abstract death, no death at a distance for anyone. Our bodies extend into the body of all. Every moment is significant in our solidarity. Now, another mask of white criminals turns upon us, on our native people at wounded knee, on food for our children and a bigger army. Children are shot down. I hear mothers crying from the black belt. Women of the earth bear the weight of the oppressor, bearing us down into deep to glow upward from the dark, from the womb, from the abyss of blood, from the injured scream. From below, we glow and rise singing. I saw the women of the earth rising on horizons of nitrogen. I saw the women of the earth coming toward each other with praise and heat without reservations of space, all shining in a light in solidarity, transforming the wound into bread and children in a new abundance, a global summer. Tall and crying out in song, we arise in mass meadows. We will run to the living hills with our seed. We will redeem all hostages. We will light the bowl of life. We will light singing across all seas, the resonance of the song of women, lifted green, alive, in the solidarity of communal love, uncovering the illumined fruit, the flying pollen in the thighs of golden bees. We bring to you our fire. We pledge to you our guerrilla fight against the predators of our country. We come with thunder, lightning on our skin, roaring womb singing, our sisters singing, choruses of millions singing.
Hmm? You want to sit down? We can move the things over there.
You can get there if we can bend.
We'll have spend some time if you wish. If you want any questions, ask any questions of Maridel. And afterwards, there will be a reception. We've got some.